everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, June 19th. Juneteenth, a national holiday. Hope everybody's having a good afternoon. We've had a great week. Hope you have as well. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Brendan, how was your week?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. A little bit of power trouble this morning, but.
Oh, really? Glad it's not happening right now. Buckmaster from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This is our weekly edition of our program. Really began the tradition 15 and a half years ago with our daily radio program. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at our looking pretty darn good. Newly designed website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of shout-outs to some media partners. TucsonSentinel.com, a representative from the Sentinel, is with me as my co-media host today, Jim Ninsel, the senior political reporter for the Tucson Sentinel. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you and Dylan and the whole team for all your support.
Always a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Thank you very much. Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun, also a big supporter. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker, chairman of the Rio Nuevo District, downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board, which is a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the state legislature for use of those funds. In 1999, voters approved the creation of the district that allows the TIF funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Mr. McCusker is credited with spearheading much of that development downtown since moving the headquarters of the Providence Service Corporation, a billion-dollar company which he founded, to downtown Tucson. His latest venture is UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology services, and products. Fletcher, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. I wasn't sure I'd be able to say that, but Rio Nuevo is great. I'm great. I'm healthy. My wife's healthy. Life is good.
What was it, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had you in studio the day that the Republican budget went to the governor, a budget that was not kind, let's put it that way, to you and Rio Nuevo.
Well, it repealed the tax, unbeknownst to us. I was filling in for Adelita.
Yeah.
You just needed somebody to come down.
I've got quite the, a Rolodex,
yeah,
right, Jim?
That morning, that we were never advised. We were never talked to. No one called us. We read in the paper that the Rio Nuevo tax had been repealed. Mm-hmm. That meant it would have been over as of June 30th.
Wow.
It was a repeal, not an appropriation, not a negotiation, a straight up repeal of a tax. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even know it was coming.
Mm-hmm. So the governor vetoed the
Almost immediately. She actually identified the Rio Nuevo repeal as one of the reasons she was vetoing the budget.
So, and now the new budget still retains Rio Nuevo, but there are some changes.
They put some guardrails around us in terms of how we use the money. So if you've watched Rio Nuevo over the years, initially we had $0. Mm-hmm. We only get the money that we create incrementally. Mm-hmm. That's about $20 million a year right now. We inherited a bunch of debt from the city version of Rio Nuevo, and we're still paying for that. But the legislature wanted, and the governor agreed, that we would assure them that 80% of our funds go to projects that increase the sales tax.
But you're already there anyway.
We are already there. Well, it's been our mission since the Republicans took it over.
Here's Jim Nitz.
So what was the argument you made to lawmakers, and tell our listeners what is important about Rio Nuevo, and why do you think it should continue?
The economics speak for themselves. We were naive to think that's all that mattered, but we've produced over $1 billion of private sector investment, $2 billion of economic development. The tax base has gone from zero to over $60 million a year. you would think that would matter to the Republicans more than the Democrats, because it's about economic development. Ideologically, however, this state does not like tax incentives. Rio Nuevo is the only one. There have been other cities that have tried, Tempe, Glendale, Phoenix, Peoria. They always say no. And they were trying to balance a budget. You know, there's $20 million that all you had to do was repeal us and allocate that to the general fund. We spent a lot of time since that day educating people about what we do, what the economics are, what we do, but moreover, bringing them to Tucson to show them, Jim. It's undeniable when you see what's occurred downtown.
And what are some of the big wins for listeners who may think, oh, Rio Nuevo, $250 million lost, you know?
That's the original version.
It's
still clouded by that. A lot of people, even some of the current legislators, see the boondoggle that was the original Rio Nuevo, and that's what they thought they were getting rid of. We do file a report annually. I appear at JCCR, but we've not done a good job educating. These are Maricopa County-based legislators. Most of them had never seen our work, hadn't been downtown. So we've got to do some things that show people what we're doing is important. We see the results. We see the reports. We see the ratings. You know, Tucson was just named the top food city in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but that doesn't resonate with the budget.
And can you talk a little bit about, you talk about the money, you've the economic impact. Talk about some of the projects that have come.
Well, we just drive downtown, from the AC Marriott to the DoubleTree to every restaurant you see. We've opened 80 restaurants since I've been
80
involved.
Restaurants?
80 restaurants. And they're all spectacular. They're all doing great. We've extended down Broadway now. We never planned to develop on Broadway, but the widening created an opportunity for us to do that. Larson Baker redid the Solow Plaza. We put a container village on the far west side that produces $20 million a year of revenue. So it's very eclectic. It's not like anything you would see in any other city. Because we're saving these old buildings that would otherwise been demolished and building around them. We think that's what differentiates us, and it's working. People love it. Just, you know, we went to the Monica downtown for lunch yesterday. There wasn't a seat.
And when you say we've opened, you mean you've contributed to the business owners who have opened these restaurants?
Yeah, collectively.
Talk a little bit about how Rio Nuevo helps support these businesses.
So we believe, since I've been involved, that the way to do this is in a public-private partnership. If it was left to the government, we've seen what happens there. We build aquariums and rainbow bridges and, you know, Indian centers. What we do is work with a private developer to help them with his or her project. And we can put up as much as half under the law to help seed a private developer. So everything you see downtown, now we have a partner. And it's usually the landowner or somebody that's acquiring the land. And what we've discovered that we bring to the table is by contributing to the project, we bring the lender. The commercial lender, it's easier to get a loan if we're involved.
And these are big name hotel groups. You know, I was reflecting when the late Bob Walkup was always talking about we need a downtown hotel. I mean, look, we've got a Hyatt Regency that is This is something 15, 20 years ago, people could not conceive that we would have a Hyatt Regency in downtown Tucson.
What the government sponsored convention center districts did was build these mammoth projects, 800 beds, 1,000 beds. If we had done that, it would have been in bankruptcy. The hotels around
Phoenix
did, and it went to bankruptcy.
Yeah,
the hotels that are being built downtown are 150 beds, 170 beds. Boutique hotels, great restaurants, and they're at capacity. We like the idea that we've surrounded downtown with boutique hotels instead of having this monolith. The Sheraton was part of the Rio Nuevo plan.
It was. And it was 1,000 rooms.
Yeah, it fell in on itself. So that was never built, thank God.
Yeah, but there is that lingering, isn't there, Jim, that kind of the some people that have not followed, they think about the Rainbow Bridge of 25 years ago, that proposal, and there's that feeling that, yeah.
I think that you have definitely turned around the direction of Rio Nuevo, and I think there's still some people with the perception that it's a scam and a fraud and all the rest of that. But talk, if you could, just for people listening who don't understand tax increment financing, basically you're getting half of the state sales tax that's generated by your new projects.
Correct,
and
exactly.
And that's what you're using to invest in more projects.
Yeah, that's the incremental part of a TIF, incremental financing. We get half of the state sales tax. That's about 2.6% of total revenue. We reinvest that almost constantly, all of it, into new projects. So we're using money that's created to invest in new projects. That's what's created this momentum. We've got another 20 projects, Jim, in our pipeline. The repeal would have shut all that down as well. So we're investing money that's created back into projects that create further sales tax.
And then the state benefits by collecting more sales tax that they wouldn't have been created without the projects that you're investing
in. The city gets sales tax.
And the city.
So there's, yeah, every dollar that we get, the city of Tucson gets a dollar.
So there's an economic ripple outward.
Yeah.
All right, Fletcher McCusker is with us here in segment two, or segment two is right around the corner. Talk a little bit about El Cisne before we return with Fletcher and Jim Nensel. El Cisne at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What a terrific Mexican restaurant. Multicultural fare, diverse regions of Mexico all represented there on the menu. You will not go away hungry. You'll have a delightful experience at El Cisne. Again, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and they do a great job catering. We've used them for a small party, and they will do, well, you can do the pickup yourself, or they'll come out and do the setup, the cleanup, whatever. Lunch and dinner at El Cisne is available for you right now. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Stop by, you're going to have a great meal. All right, let's take the first break on the Buckmaster Friday show. Our Friday Focus interview, Fletcher McCusker is here. Jim Nensel's here as well from TucsonSentinel.com. Be right back.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
For more than 30 years, the nonprofit Save the Scenic Santa Ritas has protected Tucson's water and rare Sky Island ecology from large-scale industrial mining in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. The Santa Rita Mountains include sacred Native American sites, a crucial Sonoran Desert watershed and habitat for endangered species including jaguars and ocelots. Learn more at scenicsantaritas.org. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Regional Transportation Authority's new voter-approved $2.67 billion Regional Transportation Plan and Tax will go into effect on April 1st. The current RTA half-cent tax will remain the same. In addition to completing over 1,000 improvements to date, the RTA will fund new improvements to upgrade, widen, and repave roads. RTA-funded transit services will continue and expand where needed. Visit rtamobility.com for quarterly reports on RTA project activities and financial trends.
Brendan Kraft, Spinning the Disc, Kiss the Sky. What's that, Sean Lee? Okay. I always learn some new music here on the Buckmaster Show when I've got Brendan on the other side of the glass. I've got in studio Mr. Jim Nintzel with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Jim is the senior political writer for the Sentinel, and part of his salary, I think 50% comes Report for America. Is that correct, Jim?
Well, that grant's wrapping up.
Oh, it is.
At the end of June. Uh-oh. I'm happy to say that it appears I'll be sticking around the Sentinel past the end of the grant, and
good.
I'm immensely grateful to Report for America for providing that.
It was 2 years?
3 years already.
3 years.
3 years. Yeah.
Wow, I can remember talking to you. I was actually in Honolulu, and I was talking to you when you broke the news to me that you were going to be leaving the Tucson Weekly.
Oh, yeah, 4 years.
That's 4 years on the Weekly.
Got my whole college education.
You were with the Weekly for 30 years.
30 plus years.
Fletcher McCusker is here, the chairman of the Rio Nuevo District. Fletcher, you mentioned that, what did you say, how many projects are in the pipeline? And I wonder if you could then elaborate on something. Are there some big deals out there?
A lot of big deals. One of those is the reactivation of Macy's.
Could
be the biggest deal we've ever done.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that.
This is a scoop. So it's public to some extent. Don Born has acquired the Macy's. Born Development, and they intend to reactivate that space. If you look at what he's done at Foothills Mall,
right,
you're going to see some of that come to Park Place Mall, and that's in the district.
Wow.
Penelope's is moving into the abandoned Maynard's space. So people say restaurants come and go, but from our perspective, there's never a vacancy for very long. Someone wants to operate. We've seen Hi-Fi change hands. That's now run by Grant Kruger. We've seen the Funky Monk, which was a terrible establishment. That's now run by the people that run El Sur. So we see a lot of interest still in food and beverage. We see another hotel or two in the works, and a lot of retail developing along Broadway.
Mm. You have that big lot across from the TEP building, I think, between, what is it, 6th Avenue and Scott?
Yeah, and that's 75 East Broadway is the address. That's been awarded to a hotel operator out of Oregon called OBIE. They run a number of boutique properties in the Pacific Northwest, so they won a competitive bid. They're planning a 170-bed hotel, but what we really like about it, Jim, it'll be surrounded by 16 new retail stores.
So that's retail on the ground floor and the hotel up higher.
Exactly. And we've always struggled with retail downtown, but we're starting to see some people now interested in recognizable brand name retail.
So when conventions look at Tucson, how many beds do we have available for them?
Under 1,000 hotel beds. Mm-hmm, it needs to be 2 or 3 times that. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't been to Comic-Con lately, we're competing with San Diego now for attendance of that event.
I'm not familiar with that. Is that comic book?
Yeah, type. It's comic book characters and collectors and people dress up and it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Liberty Weekend.
Celebrities come and, that's become a big event in Tucson. Of course, the gym show is the largest now in the world, and we've been able to expand that. The Tucson Convention Center last year had over 1 million visitors.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, it was about 200,000. Mm-hmm. So we've put a lot of money into that arena and that venue and the plaza, and it seems to be paying off.
You know, there have been a couple of, and Jim knows this as well, a couple of high-profile op-ed pieces in the Arizona Daily Star. Ted Maxwell, General Maxwell, wrote one. And what was the, who did the other
Taylor
one?
Taylor Davidson.
Yeah, okay. Those are back-to-back pieces. How much does politics play into whether somebody's going to come visit Tucson or downtown Tucson? I know you don't want to get, but just try to stay out of politics.
Our reputation has an impact to site selectors, to convention organizers, and there is some politics that play into that. You got to believe that Tucson can overcome that. And generally we have, you know, if you look at the kind of things that are successful here, we're going to be challenged on the company relocation front because of the whole Project Blue.
Right.
Spectacle.
And at the time you were very vocal about the fact that this could very much be a huge setback for site selection for economic development.
Yeah,
the whole Project
we've
Blue.
We've lost probably half of our pipeline.
Really? Yeah. That much?
Yeah. Well, and they just don't want to go through the spectacle that became. Now, whether you like Amazon or don't like Amazon, and I think the mayor would agree with me, that could have been handled very differently. And it didn't need to be a public shaming of a company that wants to relocate and ultimately is relocating. You know, the issue turned out to be about water. But most of our convention business is attracts local people, Sonorans come north. If you look at our demographics, we don't have a lot of people out of the region. The Jazz Festival is the one exception. And we had 20,000 people come to the Jazz Festival around Martin Luther King Day. 65% of those people were from out of town. You know, so that's become a real kind of national hit. And, you know, the Century Room and Chris Dodge, people that put on that festival have attracted world-class jazz artists, and fans follow those people.
Go ahead.
I think there was a lot of talk, or not maybe a lot of talk, there was a little bit of rumblings that Rio Nuevo should get involved in helping fund affordable housing in the downtown area. And now that you have this new 80% requirement in the from the most recent state budget, I don't think you have any kind of ability to do that. But was there any kind of serious chatter with the Rio Nuevo Board about doing affordable housing?
We've looked into it, particularly since Governor Hobbs took over. There are a number of challenges. We don't align with the census tracts. So most of the incentives for HUD-based financing do not align with Rio Nuevo. So we couldn't put a deal together that made a lot of sense to people. We would be interested in housing if it has a retail component. And if you look at the market rate apartments we've supported, like the Batista and the Monier and others, the ground level is retail. Apparently, you can't do that in affordable housing. We learned that the hard way. You cannot have, it has to be all housing. It can't have any other. So that keeps us out of that game almost entirely. And we could squeeze it into our new 20%, but we haven't really found a developer that can work with us and achieve the HUD incentives.
Do you have your own security force downtown?
No.
You don't? Off-duty police or anything?
Well, us personally?
Yeah, do you have your own
We do hire TPD off-duty officers. Almost $1 million a year supporting. We decided not to use private security or the marshals. We like having TPD officers. We've given them two Kawasakis to drive around town. They're highly visible, you know, but they will tell you. I remember Chief Kazmar telling me, he says, we can help you downtown, but you're squeezing jello. If we contain it here, it's going to pop up elsewhere. And it does. It, you know, comes to Reed Park or Elkhorn or whatever, but downtown's pretty safe. And they stay there until about 3 a.m.
Is homelessness a problem downtown?
Not so much. I mean, you want to see homeless, go to L.A. or Portland or Seattle. We don't see it nearly as much as we did years ago. 10 years ago, there were things downtown that catered to the houselessness, food and you know, social services and those kind of things. They don't really exist in the downtown corridor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to, and one of the things we've learned is activity fills the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really want to be around crowds.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we don't see a lot of vagrancy mm-hmm. or homelessness down there. Mm-hmm.
I probably asking you to choose among your projects is like asking you to choose among your children, and I don't want to put you on the spot in such a situation, but I know that you have a great fondness for the Fox Theater, and can you talk a little bit about the expansion project going on?
Well, it's going to be amazing. I was actually on the Fox board when I got the call from President Pierce that he appointed me to the Rio Nuevo board, so the Fox has always been near and dear to me. What they are going to do on that corner now is going to be extraordinary, world class. The historic Fox is preserved, all 2,400 seats, Art Deco, built in the 20s, it's untouched. The rest of that will be demolished to replace a new facade, a frontage, a rooftop bar, a restaurant. It's going to be spectacular. And it took some doing for the Fox to get permission for all that, because some of those buildings are considered historical. Rio Nuevo owned the Fox Theater. We've contributed it now to the foundation. So that project's going to happen. It's going to be extraordinary. And there's a number of those things that just changed downtown forever. The AC Marriott, you know, was the first hotel downtown in like 40 years, you know. So we saw the value of being an entertainment zone.
Mm-hmm.
And are you now looking at a hotel on the Depot Plaza that has been talked about for a long time?
That's been rebid. So that was originally awarded to Peach Properties. They termed out. The city now is rebidding that. And it's kind of an open-ended bid, you know, retail, residential, hotel. So we'll see who the city selects as the new developer for mm-hmm. the Ronstadt.
You said there were 80 restaurants that are at part of the Rio Nuevo that have come along in your tenure with Rio Nuevo. Would you say 80? Is that what you had said?
It's 85.
Yeah. How many have gone out of, how many have we lost?
Very few of them.
Really?
Cafe Pocosa, of course.
Right.
You know, places like that. And again, somebody back fills it. But the ones that we've supported, I think only one or two of them have gone out of business.
Hmm. So you mentioned there's some news with some of these 80, how many new projects in the pipeline?
20.
And again, you said something about Macy's. Would you please articulate that? It's the first I'd heard about this.
He may be waiting for me outside, but...
I'd like to hear
Don
about
Born
it.
Okay. Has acquired the former Macy's, and he's a mall developer. And what's happening at the Foothills Mall is extraordinary. We're going to see some of that at the eastern edge of the Rio Nuevo district.
Hmm.
Now, remember, we'll benefit from that sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
There's another company that acquired the former Sears. They're out of Denver, called Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in the cold beer and cheeseburger to that mall. And they're also building two apartment complexes in the parking lot. So we see a lot of interest in the space that malls don't need
mm-hmm.
nationally now from mm-hmm. companies that are looking at converting the parking lots to residential and retail development. There's two of them inside the district, Elkhorn, of course, and Park Place.
So he acquired Macy's?
He bought it.
He bought the local Macy's.
The vacant Macy's.
Oh, the vacant. The vacant
for 10 years?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
Do you know what he's planning on doing with that space?
No, that I don't know. So you can call him and tell him that I blabbered it and get him to come on your show to tell you what he's doing.
Well, folks are hearing about it here for the first time, and it's not the first time that we've broken a little news here, right, Jim, over the years?
I think that's true.
All right, Fletcher, any final thoughts for our listeners?
We're very grateful to the people that supported us. We had almost 5,000 emails and letters that went to the governor and legislature to support Rio Nuevo. And that registered with everybody.
Hmm.
And then you know, when we were able to get people to drive, to walk, to meet, to look at what we're doing, everyone that's done that has turned around. We're going to do more of that.
I just wanted to express my condolences on the loss of your fellow board member and friend, Chris Schaeff, and wondered if you wanted to say a few words about him before we left today.
We've talked about it on air a couple of times. He was a dear friend. He was a fellow pilot. I'm a pilot. I stopped flying long before he did. He should have stopped flying. But he's basically irreplaceable for us. He was so moderate, so genuine, so knowledgeable about development. It'll be impossible. And he was my treasurer, so it's almost impossible to run this organization without him.
Do we know any more about the accident?
I know a lot about the accident.
You do.
He was trying to land at the small airport at Marana. The mm-hmm. major airport mm-hmm. was closed down. There was a crosswind. He missed it one time and went back around, and he got his wheels on the ground, but it was really late. And he went off the end of the runway. At the end of that runway is a concrete culvert.
Oh, no.
That's what killed him.
Mm.
And you know, you don't know what's... I mean, he's a very experienced pilot. He flew that. They had been at the Final Four. They were in Indianapolis and took his little puddle jumper all the way back.
Wow.
You know, you don't know what's going through your mind at that point. We all wish he just would have gone to Tucson International and landed safely. But he and Jackie, the only solace to any of that is that he and Jackie were together.
All right. Well, certainly be missed. Thank you, Fletcher. Well,
thank you, gentlemen.
Great.
Thank you for
catching
what you
up
do
with
for
the,
our community.
Thank you very much, Fletcher McCusker. We've got Kevin Dahl coming up. Talk a little politics. Jim Nintzel sticks around. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Travel is my lifelong passion, visiting more than 100 countries, all 50 states, and flying on nearly 75 different airlines. I'm ready to talk travel anytime, anywhere. That's why I'm excited about our new monthly Travel Talk podcast, hosted by Bon Voyage Travel President Ryan Hansen. Check out the latest travel trends on Travel Talk at bbtravel.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Fletcher McCusker, our Friday Focus interview in the first half of our program. Now the second half, we've got Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl with us midway through his second four-year term, Ward 3 Democrat. Hey, Kevin, good to see you.
Likewise. It seems like midway, but it's only been 6 months.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I have 3.5 more years.
Oh, my gosh. It seems like it, though, right?
It seems like an eternity.
Jim Nintzel's here as well from Tucson Sentinel. Jim, why don't you start the questioning with Councilman Dahl?
Sure. We at the Sentinel are doing a big focus on housing, homelessness, and I know that the city has been doing a lot to try to build affordable housing. How do you feel you guys are doing on that front?
We're doing as much as we possibly can.
And a lot of it's happening in your ward.
It is. We have a lot of our affordable housing projects. Because of the Miracle Mile and the motels have been an easy thing to do. I mean, we did Wildcat Inn as a low barrier shelter. We did the No-Tell Motel, which is long gone, is now Milagro on Oracle, despite my efforts to keep the original name associated with it. At one time, they were going to let the new residents vote. And they decided, no. They saved the sign somewhere, but
it got stolen for a little while and then recovered.
That's right. That's right. Who would want that sign?
I think Ken Carr next door at the drive has part of that sign.
Is that right?
Yes.
Everybody wants mementos of their earlier life. Mm-hmm. Around the corner, Amazon. And we're also doing some zoning stuff, somewhat encouraged by the state, but we've done a package to make it easier to get some special exemptions around parking and height and some other things if you're on a transportation corridor. And the first project that utilized that was the Amazon Motel. Next to it, we're building an apartment that will utilize that, and we will
Amazon
be able to put
Flats.
Amazon Flats. Thanks. I didn't remember the name. It doesn't seem flat because it's going upwards. And we can get more units into that space. So the middle housing is going to help with housing as well. Also in Ward 3 are some projects. Prince and Stone, there's a lovely apartment that utilize tax incentives. We're doing some housing, the old motel at the northeast corner of Speedway and Stone. That'll come online soon.
Speedway Stone, you're building a whole new apartment complex there.
Well, it's from a motel, but at the south.
Is it?
Yes. Well, this is the one on the northeast corner. On the southwest corner, we're going to build a whole complex.
I think the funding just came together for that county gave some gap funding, and you got some low-income housing tax credits to complete the funding package for that.
Normally, my favorite phrase is not in my ward, and that's not in my ward, but it's right across the street. Yeah. So I'll take some credit.
Talk a little bit about, we just had, as you know, Fletcher McCusker talking about Project Blue and the whole dust up there and how it really has hurt economic development, in his opinion. Are you worried about that at all?
I think we need to concentrate on economic development in the city. In Ward 3, you might remember, Bill, that I founded a group called Friends of Ward 3, and now it's its own separate nonprofit. They're doing an effort to reach out to existing businesses and try to understand the landscape in Ward 3. What's happening there that's good? What do we have potential for? And there's a lot of opportunities for new development. There's a lot of opportunities for expansion. Mm-hmm. There's some businesses that we don't think about. Like we read in the paper that the Tucson Tamales is going out of business. That was the restaurant, and they had already spun that off. But in Ward 3, Tucson Tamales is manufacturing tamales that you don't manufacture.
I think they do.
Yeah.
It's a factory. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tamale factory.
They're building tamales that are spreading good food across the region and nation. So I think we need to focus on supporting the local businesses that are here. And by the way, this summer looks to be hard on restaurants. In my newsletter, and I hope your readers will go out a couple of extra times to your favorite restaurant, because we're losing some places that we don't want to lose. What with the increased prices because of oil prices and tariffs and such.
What was your reaction to the couple of, they've become highly publicized op-eds? They were back-to-back. Taylor,
Right. Taylor Davidson.
Taylor Davidson.
General and then Maxwell.
General Maxwell,
yeah.
On back-to-back days, basically saying that the city's lost its way. And I know General Maxwell, if he was here right now, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he would ask you what type, and you alluded to this, what type of development do we want in the city of Tucson?
We want ones that brings jobs, that are high-paying jobs and union jobs where possible. That's one of my problems with Project Blue. A lot of money being spent for very few jobs. I mean, there's people sweeping and there's a few engineers correcting the hard drives that are collecting that stuff. We want jobs that don't take we want businesses that utilize water effectively. Mm-hmm. We want jobs that build on what we love about Tucson. We're a city of gastronomy. We are close to where produce comes from Mexico. We have a lot of sunshine. We should be developing clean energy businesses that utilize that sunshine. We've provided incentives for a couple of battery companies, and because of federal policies, they're coming to us a lot slower than they should be. We want companies that are part of the region, and there are some regional advantages being part of mm-hmm. the Sonora-Arizona connection. And we have some basic industries that come out of the U of A. We have medical industries. We have optical industries. We can have brilliant knowledge-based companies because we have a lot of smart people. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. people graduate from U of A, are well-trained, and then they go elsewhere for jobs. Mm. I'd like to see companies that keep that talent.
Here's Jim Nitzel.
One of the efforts to help alleviate some of the problems with homelessness was Star Village.
Yes.
On Grant Road.
Yeah.
Down there, I think by 6th Avenue. And it's been up for what, about 6 months now?
Yes.
And it's basically tents and a spot for women and trans individuals to lay their head at night. How has that worked out? From your perspective?
It's worked out really well. It's a pilot for us providing something that's not have four walls. And we know that some people are not ready to live inside for various reasons, for the trauma in their life. Veterans sometimes have that problem. And so I think we need to provide places that are basically tent camping. They had small tents. They weren't great. A donor came and gave them bigger tents. There's some big spaces. There's places to wash clothes. There was some concern in businesses and residents around there bringing this to their neighborhood. But what we found whenever we do a shelter or that sort of facility, these are the most vulnerable people in our community, women who have been living on the street. And there are people who want to prey on them, and they know that they're there. So we provide extra security neighborhood, and I think we haven't had any of those sorts of problems, thank goodness.
You mentioned trauma and the challenge of getting people to accept services sometimes, perhaps because they mistrust government or they've been let down before or they're got their community on the street and they're not ready to give that up damaged as that community may be from the perspective of somebody who says, hey, look, you're living on the street and using fentanyl or what have you. But can you talk a little bit about what you've learned in terms of the challenges of overcoming some of those barriers?
I'd be glad to. And I'm not an expert. 4 years ago, I had no idea of what people were experiencing when they lived on the street. But we've had a cooling center at our ward in the summers, and this winter we experimented with a warming center before the office opens. People could come in and get some hot oatmeal and coffee and such. And I've seen skillful people, a lot of times who have had experience living on the street or being addicted themselves and have gotten their life straight and back on the narrow. There are so many challenges. When you find yourself on the street, there are things that brought you there: domestic abuse, financial collapse, and many of us have other resources. We have family to rely upon. These are people who have no longer any resources, And I hear from, I've asked one guy, why don't you go to such and such shelter? There's always beds there. I went there and they stole my shoes. And then I had to listen to a lecture about forgiveness and God. And I don't want to hear that stuff. People who are on the street oftentimes have dogs, and they're not going to give up their dog to get shelter because their dog is part of their support. And those of us who have dogs understand that. There are couples, and shelters that are men only, women only, don't work for them. The Tucson shelter that we established, Wildcat Inn, was purposefully low barrier. And it surprises some people that we don't say you have to get off drugs to be there. You can't bring drugs there. You can't do drugs there. But we understand that a lot of times you have to have stable housing before you can really tackle the big job of rehab.
Let me talk a little bit about the upcoming 4th of July. Many cities are saying, let's don't do fireworks. It's horrible for the animals, for veterans. It brings up a lot of horrible memories, hearing the fireworks. Can't we go to some kind of a non-fireworks laser show?
We can and we will. We're going to do it.
When is that going to happen?
Next year. We started the process in January, and it wasn't long enough time to figure it out this time. It's very traumatic for people. It ties up the fire department. They're preparing a mountain. They're hosing it down all day. They're there for possible problems. And there are fire problems. It's their biggest night of
it
the
is,
year.
Yes.
So it's a win-win-win switching to a drone show.
This is the last year that there will be fireworks in the city of Tucson, fireworks
as
show.
As much as any politician can promise something,
yes.
I promise you we won't do fireworks next year. Mm. We are looking for sponsors for that. What's great with drones is drones can do the sponsor's logo up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing with drones is it doesn't have to be shot off of A Mountain. In fact, we probably wouldn't launch them off A Mountain. It can go from TCC. It could be from Reed Park. It can be mm-hmm. anywhere in the city, and they can fly high enough so more people will see them. And they're pretty, and they're very artistic.
Good.
A little more expensive. That's why we'll be looking for sponsors. Maybe we'll steal some of your sponsors, Bill.
Oh, I hope so. I'd like that they would perhaps be supportive. How about that? Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say perhaps the expense of putting out the fires will compensate for the higher cost of the drones. But I actually toured the Casa del Pueblo earlier this week, the fire station that's been transformed into a shelter in your ward.
Oh, yeah.
On King Street.
I've forgotten what the new name of it is.
About a minute left. Jim.
Okay. It's been around for a little over a year now. Would you consider what's going on there a success?
Very much a success, yeah.
Why?
Because we need places where people can get in off the street. It was a success because it wasn't all that expensive to convert into congregate shelter. The sad part is we were going to do tiny homes behind it, and that turned out to be too big of a chore. So that's been shelved for the moment. I would have liked to have seen not tiny homes, but basically individual bedrooms. It gives a little better sense of privacy and home ownership when someone's in one of those. And I love the tiny home projects that are happening. The homing project will be opening soon in Ward 3 because the city of Tucson just changed permitting, and we now have a permit for those sort of facilities.
All right, Kevin Dahl, we're quickly running out of time.
It
Kevin
was
Dahl,
too short.
I know. He's really in the early days. Why don't I put it of his second 4-year term? Quickly, in just a couple of seconds left here, the water sustainability here looks very, very dismal right now. Yes, I know we're off to a great monsoon, but with talks of water cutbacks, it does not look good right now.
I think Tucson has always had to be wary about water. We do a great job of water conservation. We need to continue that and do even better water conservation. But our Tucson Water Utility has been brilliant in how they manage water. We're storing water underground. We have advanced purification treatment plant being built. Tucson will be okay. The rest of the region, I'm more concerned about.
All right, Kevin Dahl. Have a great weekend, Kevin. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
Finally getting away for a little while, huh? That's going to be great. All right, we've got Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Jim Nintzel, thanks, Jim, for coming in, and we'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, be right back.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
A new 20-year Regional Transportation Authority plan will be in effect starting April 1st. Voter-approved transportation improvements will be funded across the region over the next 20 years from a half-cent sales tax paid by residents, businesses, visitors, and tourists. Funds collected from across the region flow back out across the region to address the needs of all transportation users. The RTA will fund improvements to roadways, transit, bicycle, and pedestrian infrastructure, and more. Visit rtamobility.com for upcoming activities.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Friday, June 26th at noon. We'll talk with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. Then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're always live Fridays at noon at buckmastershow.com. Also the place for the podcasts and our complete show archive. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where a fabulous weekend awaits you in the land of enchantment. Ken Carr is here from 101.7 The Drive. Ken, how are you?
I'm good. You know, it's a Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about a couple things you can do with Dad in a moment. It's also this weekend. The first day of summer is coming on Sunday.
That's right.
The summer solstice
is here.
So the most hours or minutes, I guess, either light that you can get.
Then it goes the other way.
Yeah. Then are we supposed to start getting depressed from that point?
No, or start thinking about Christmas. No.
So we had a little taste of monsoon that's kind of shut off. So the things that you can do outside this weekend are going to be fantastic as far as weather. Juneteenth is today.
Today.
And the Tucson Juneteenth Festival is tomorrow. That's from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. at the Kino Sports Complex. It's a celebration, of course, to increase knowledge and appreciation of the roles, achievements, and contributions of African Americans to our society. So here's what's going on. Historical presentations, exhibits, music and dance, arts, crafts, family activities, food vendors, free admission, good reason to get out of the house.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
And they're doing it in the evening, so it should be a little bit cooler than in the middle of the day. The summer night markets have been really popular.
Have they really?
So there's two of them that I know of this weekend. The one that's happening tonight is at the MSA Annex. They have more than 80 vendors there, food trucks, as well as all of the Mercado shops and merchants that are open late. And that's at the Annex on Avenida del Convento. And then tomorrow night, Old Tucson is doing theirs. And it's a little bit smaller, but they got a little more going on outside of the vendors. Mm-hmm. So they also have, there's rides and all of the attractions of Old Tucson that are available and free parking and admission, which is kind of nice.
And the ride over to Old Tucson is always so memorable.
I always like that drive because you go over the hill, yeah. And especially if you're going in the early evening, you get the sunset. Goodness.
You get the whole package.
For the win, Loft Kids Fest, that is happening tomorrow and Sunday as well as next weekend, and it's free movies for kids at 10 a.m. on both tomorrow and Sunday, plus free popcorn. That's mm-hmm. the win. Mm-hmm. And the movies tomorrow are The Addams Family, the animated version, and then on Sunday, it's Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest. Mm-hmm. And also for Dad, Tucson Saguaros Baseball. They have game tonight and tomorrow night versus the Roswell Invaders at Keno Stadium and the Tucson Sugar Skulls. If you like arena football, we have two home games left for this season, and the next one is tomorrow night versus the Arizona Rattlers, and that is at the Tucson Convention Center.
I like that, the Roswell Invaders.
They have, I kind of like the Pecos because they have some of the most creative mascot names.
Yeah, very cool. Ken Carr, always a pleasure. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Brendan Kraft for engineering and producing our program. Great job as usual, Brendan. Hope everybody has a delightful weekend. We'll see you next Friday.